Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info. Now let's get this show started.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Bass Thumbs Fishing Channel, or Bass Thumbs Fishing Podcast, where we are constantly trying to keep our thumbs ripped up. Tonight, we got Mr. Dominic Doan back with us tonight. He won a local event with the Urban Anglers Club. We're going to hear about his successful day out there on the water this past weekend, along with Mr. Brian Lepke. Brian won the SoCal Kayak Anglers event down at San Vicente on this last Saturday and caught like 91 inches and had a phenomenal day out there. And we're going to go ahead and hear about his successful day as well. But first things first, as always, got a couple of housekeeping things. We got the Delta this weekend for Yakabass. Yakabass is going to be up at the Delta this coming weekend. I believe they're launching at a Paradise Point, so it's going to be pretty cool to see who comes on top of the Yakabass event out there. I know Greg Blanchard, all the guys are going to be out there this weekend, so good luck to everyone that's fishing the Delta this weekend. The Delta is a phenomenal place to fish, and I wish I was there, but I'm unfortunately not able to make it, but good luck to you guys. Also, I know that I've been seeing some things. I don't know too much about it, but the Wild West Kayak Pro Tour is going to be starting this weekend, so best of luck to all the anglers that are going to be fishing that event. Then we got June 5th, I believe, is the California Bass Nation Kayak Series at Lake Comanche. So if you guys are looking to qualify for their state championship and get a shot at the big Bassmaster Kayak Championship nationwide, make sure you guys try to head out to Comanche on June 5th to qualify for that event. It's a qualifying event for their state championship. So, yeah, it should be a good bite. Unfortunately, I was planning on trying to make it, but my brother-in-law is getting married in June, and they picked June 5th and 6th for the bachelor party. So I will not be able to make it. But I was looking forward to it, but best of luck to everyone that goes. And if you guys haven't signed up yet, make sure you guys go check that out. Let's see what else. We got the ABA Working Man Series going on right now. And it is very awesome to kind of see this kind of new cutting edge event happening right now. I believe this is going to be our third weekend this weekend. And it's pretty fun to kind of follow along. They can only fish Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at designated lakes throughout the whole Western region. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and shout out the guys that are leading really quick. So let me pull this up over here on Fishing Chaos. The Working Man Series is going to be on Fishing Chaos. And the coolest part about this Working Man Series is that there's only going to be two months of events. So the winners from this event this month, there's going to be five different winners, and those five winners are going to qualify for their 10-person championship that is going to be happening at the end of the year at Lake Havasu. And the prize, the package that's going to go along with being at the championship is almost going to be like a 10-house feel, where anglers are going to be receiving these huge prize packages when they get to the casino. The casino overnight stay and all the stays are going to be comped. I know food's going to be comp. There's going to be like a 2-day championship, and they're going to be fishing for like $15,000 in cash and prizes. And there's only going to be 10 anglers competing. So that's going to be extremely fun to cover and watch. I'm hoping I can qualify. I'm going to sign up and compete in it next month, but it's going to be tough because, you know, the guys dedicate their whole weekend to it and they get on those fish and there are some big limits already. And let's see. So we got the Working Man Series. Let's see who's leading in each region so far. So in Arizona, we got Charles Booth leading with 80 and a half inches with Bryce Gibbs close behind with 76. The Colorado River region, we got Kent Stoker with 95 and a quarter and then Ben Risti with 93 and a quarter. And then we got Lance Engel with 91 and a quarter. So that's going to be a pretty tight region. Best of luck to you guys out there. And Kent is in the lead. And then we got the NorCal region. So Cali's coming in with Bob Zhang up north with 100 and a half inches already. I know Bob's in a few different monthlies right now. And in the other monthlies where he can fish every day, he's got like 105 inches. So Bob is definitely on a big bite this month. So good luck, Bob, and keep going. We got Justin Dutcher right behind him with 97 and a quarter. And then Poo Yang with 94 and a half. Then we got the SoCal region. We got Anthony Garcia with 101 inches leading the way. Then we got Brian Lepke, who's with us tonight, with 93.75. And then Jason Mathiot with 91. So California definitely throwing up double digits already, and it's only halfway through the month, which is pretty crazy, but pretty typical with our big fish out here. We got the Utah region. We got Tyler, I want to say Ivy. Sorry if I butcher your guys' names. I apologize. But we got Tyler Ivy with 97 and a quarter or 87 and a quarter. Sorry about that. And then Chris Spencer with 82.5 and Cody Henley with 73. And then, so that's pretty much the five different regions with the top three guys from each region so far. Best of luck to you guys fishing that. And it's going to be really fun to watch it. I'm going to be covering the event. So I'm just looking forward to the end of the month. We'll have all the winners on from the regions and we'll find out where and how they caught them towards the end of the month. Let's see what else. We got the ABA Kayak Series coming out to Lower Otay on June 25th and 26th. I'm going to be promoting that event pretty hard. We also have a KBF Trail that same weekend. So it's going to be another big weekend, just like San Vicente was, where someone's going to be able to walk away with close to $10,000. I know Dominic shared that he won close to 7,000 or right at 7,000 at San Vicente. And man, I mean, he was honestly a couple inches away from sweeping the whole thing and could have walked away with that 10,000 mark, which is crazy given the fact that we had around 40 anglers. So we got, you know, 40, 50, 60 anglers, you know, hopefully we get that 60 mark or more and that prize money will continue to go up. But to have that kind of opportunity right here in our backyard in SoCal is huge. And I really encourage you guys that are listening that are kind of on the fence with maybe signing up for KBF. I know next year, Chad has been very public about this, but next year there's going to be a little bit of a drawback on how many trails we get. So if we could take full advantage this year and show out to Lower Otay and show that we could put up those big numbers, like hopefully like 75, 80 would be awesome. And I know that we have the anglers out here and it would be awesome if you guys could come join us that weekend. You know, getting to one on Saturday or one on Sunday, whatever you guys can do, but to show up and just sign up for at least one of the events happening that weekend would be incredible. And it would show a lot of support and, you know, that we want to have more trails like that out here so we don't lose that opportunity. And then if we lose the opportunity, then we're going to have to travel really far for those big national events. And that's, you know, it's kind of tough, but let's try to keep those in our backyard while we have them. Other than that, kind of something new with me. I'm going to be transitioning here soon to not a new kayak, but the SS127. I'm going to be releasing a video on why I'm getting out of my P127 for now and going back into the SS for now. Basically, when I had rigged that boat out, I tried to balance it the best I could. But when I get into some heavy water and some big water and the waves and crashing in, that boat, unfortunately, with the way that I have it rigged out and it's balanced the best that I could, it just does not want to drain, which is unfortunate because I really like the platform. I love going like 4.8 miles an hour in that thing, but I can't have in the back of my mind like, oh, I don't want to travel too far or go, you know, across the lake when it's not the best conditions because my boat might not drain out on the, you know, the scupper plugs. So It's unfortunate, but that's what's going to be happening here in the next month or so. So I'll go ahead and release a video and a walkthrough and kind of discuss that when it comes. But that's pretty much it. The next thing that I'm going to be fishing is the Lower Otay event at the end of June. So I'm preparing for that. I went out recently. I went out actually yesterday to kind of go check it out and didn't have the best day. The water level is pretty low. The water temperature is about 75 degrees. There's a ton of fry. Fish are guarding fry, but they're just kind of in kind of like that little bit of weird transition from post-spawn to kind of reaching that summer water temp and summer pattern. So, yeah, we'll see how that one goes. We'll see. Hopefully the grass continues to grow and it gets back to that froggy punch chatterbait bite that we had last year. But anyways, guys, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring these guys on, and we're going to hear how their weekend went last weekend. So let's go ahead and bring on Double Digit Angler, Dominic Doan. What up, Dom? And then we got
What up?
What's going on, guys?
What's up,
Brian? Good to see you guys. Well, I know that you guys both. Yeah, you guys both had a great weekend last weekend. So like I said, Brian fished the SoCal event on Saturday. And then Dominic fished that event as well. And then he also fished the Urban Angler Club on Sunday and took first place out there. So you guys have both been on the show before. People that listen to this show, you know your names. They know, you know, how you guys got into fishing and all that. So we're not going to go there tonight. We're going to go kind of straight into your guys' event. So let's start with Brian, since Brian was on Saturday. And Dom, we'll hear a little bit from you too, but about Saturday. Brian, how was the deal, man? Was it the same? Did you kind of run the same stuff that you ran when we were there for the ABA, or what was your deal?
I pretty much run the same pattern every time I'm at San Vicente. Sometimes the fish are there, sometimes they're not. Usually when I have to go look for something there different, it doesn't work out. So luckily my fish were there in the spots that I used to catch them at. And the size, there was a certain area where the size was better than everywhere else. So,
yeah.
So it was pretty finessey though.
I know that you like to, I guess, like power shot a lot. Like, I know you kind of go like thicker line when you drop shot and stuff. Do you take that same approach at San Vicente, or do you drop your line size and get really finessey there?
if I can, if the water's got some color to it, I will fish, you know, 10, 12 pound test. But Saturday I was fishing 7 pound test for the most part, and setting the hook and just, you know, wishing for some luck on my side, and it worked out. So
were you drop shotting?
No, I was throwing a thin Senko, just fly line.
Okay.
Yeah. Just little pockets here and there. Yeah, weightless, green pumpkin, 5-inch thin Senko. Just anywhere that I thought of like a post spawn female would be resting, you know, because I thought there was a lot of males guarding fry. I didn't see any females out, so I thought they might be tucked away, and they were.
I know that thin Senko game is a very, especially weightless, that's a patient game. So you got to have a lot of patience to be throwing that for most of the day. But I mean, obviously, when you're getting bit, it's not. You could be patient, but
I mean, the fish were shallow. They were like less than 5 feet of water. So it wasn't
through
bad.
A lot of bags. How many bags did you go through?
Of Senkos?
Yeah.
Three.
Wow. Dang.
Wait,
that's a good problem to have.
I mean,
go ahead.
I probably caught 35, 40 fish that day.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. All in the thin Senko.
Every single one.
Should have hit me up.
Remember what I told you, Dom, about Brian when he says that? I know for a fact there was some other baits thrown.
Yeah, you can believe whatever you want.
I think he had a toxic bait tied on though. Did you catch any on that?
I don't have any. No, it was a Bass Brains wake bait.
Yeah, did you land anything on that or no?
No, I tried in the morning. I didn't get anything.
Oh, okay.
There was too Brian's much grass to fish it tied to shore.
Brian is 100% the kind of person, when I used to play poker, I would literally call every single time just to see if he's bluffing.
I mean, I got Brad coming up to me, showing me pictures of my fish from like months ago, saying, "What's that? What kind of worm is that?" He's like, "You told me you're using this." I'm like, "How much time do you have on your hands, dude, to look at my pictures like that?"
No, dude, Brad, we joke about it all the time, but he definitely zooms in on every crevice of everyone's Journey X photo, bro. He finds the most random stuff, dude. It's pretty funny. I'm not gonna lie.
He did that Delta too.
Yeah,
he was zooming in all the time on the Delta.
Hey, we should start messing with him, and just see if he catches on to it, and just like put like an 8-inch HUD at the floor of our deck every single time. Yeah. What were you gonna say, Brian?
You know what, you're talking about the drop shot. That's something I used to really rely on. Like, I mean, I'd fish that all the time. I think the fish are getting pretty conditioned to a drop shot these days, though. I mean, occasionally you'll catch a big one now, but I mean, sometimes you can't even get bit on it, especially with live scope. I can see him swim up to it, swim away. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I mean that's why. I know that there's kind of a lot of guys that throw 6 pound, but I throw 6 pound and I might even consider even throwing 4 pound here pretty soon because I think I can still catch them on 4 pound.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At MidwayUSA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Dude, when I first started bass fishing from saltwater, I'd go to Diamond Valley all the time and rent a boat. And they were always like, "Oh, you got to use 4 pound, 4 pound." You know how many double-digit fish I lost because of that?
If you go
10 pound braid, because you gotta drop your diameter of your braid when you tie that FG knot or whatever connection knot. Because if you tie like
I think if you're going 4 pound, you gotta go straight fluoro or mono. I don't think you can fish.
Yeah,
the braid.
Yeah.
Because there's no stretch in the braid's gonna snap.
Dude, you can't even tie a 4 pound fluorocarbon to braid. They'll snap every single time.
10 pound though, 10 pound braid.
I don't know.
You could.
You know, but Jacob Willer actually uses 8 pound nano braid on 8 pound floral. Like, he doesn't even use like 25 pound braid at all.
I've used 8 pound braid quite a bit. The only thing I don't like about it is it gets wind knots really easy.
Oh, okay.
Because it's so thin. Yeah.
So I see. It's interesting because, I mean, that's why I throw 6 pound a lot, is because I think I get more bites, and I think it does a little bit better action to the worm. But I'm gonna start trying 4 pound, especially on practice days. I'm gonna start trying 4 pound with 10 pound braid, and I'll kind of see how it goes. Because how often do you really catch like that, like honestly, like that 6.5-7 pounder? And even on a 7 pounder, you can still land it on 4 pound test. Like, you're talking about double digits, that's a different world. But like, let's just say five to like that 7 pound bass, you can still land it on 4 pound test. Especially if your jag's right.
Yeah, if you're in open water, and you got to assume that there's no nicks on your line and all your knots are perfect.
And there's no quagga. You know, if there's quagga or trees, forget it. Or if there's docks, forget it. Like, don't do it.
Well, I had 6 pound tests the whole time at Santa.
Hey, you can fish 4 pound, dude. I think you should fish 4 pound of Ote for sure.
6 pound, like,
I will in the offshore rock piles. There's nothing around those rocks.
Yeah, but they'll dig into those rocks, man. They know how to dig in those.
Yeah, but those rocks, rocks at Otay are round. And you want to know how I know that? No, they're not. They're not jagged. They're super round. And you want to know how I know that? You can literally see them right now. That's how low the lake is.
Mm. All right. Well, you throw
offshore
your
rocks
count
in between. In between are the entrance of Harvey's Arm. Offshore rocks. Mm-hmm. You could literally see the tops of them from the water, from the top of the water.
I was there Sunday.
You were? Did you do well?
I did okay. I wouldn't say well.
Yeah, it was tough for me. I mean, I was only out there for 4 hours, but it was pretty tough.
I wasn't feeling it.
I'll tell you this much. I didn't get one single frog blow up the whole day.
What about shad? Like, did you guys see any shad out there or no?
Fry for days.
Oh, really?
Tons of bait. Yeah.
Really?
There's always
tons
a lot
of bait
in the middle.
Where the bait always is.
Yeah.
Are you talking about in the middle? Like the channel, the arms? Are they blowing bait yet?
Right by the dam.
Are they blowing up on bait yet or no?
Yeah, they blow up on bait there all the time, bro. There's always top water blow ups there.
Oh, I see.
Out in the middle of nowhere too. They're always chasing them.
Right on. I need to get out there.
We're gonna see Dom running around there out deep, of course. Running around chasing them.
I don't know. Well, I don't think that was a good idea over at San Vicente. That's why Brian won. I feel like he didn't go skip out on shallow water. I did. And that's why.
If I have the option to not look at fish on LiveScope, I will.
Yeah.
It's just hard though.
Run bank and
hey,
just
you know what's funny? You know what's funny about this right now? You know what's funny about this right now, Brian? Before San V this weekend, I was talking to Dom, and he goes, "Dude, the shallow game is overrated, bro. I'm never going shallow ever again. There's no big fish up shallow." And now he's sitting here saying, "Yep, should have went shallow."
Yeah. Honestly, no. Like, I really it's do feel like changing. They get less pressure though.
For sure.
The deeper the water, you know, everybody's hitting the bank. That's why I don't have as much confidence on the bank than I do in deeper water, just because everybody's hitting it. And we're in SoCal, you know, and these waters fish small. But I mean, there are times like Brian hit up the island, hit up shallow water, and he was on the right pattern. So definitely I was over at the Delta skipping sinkles all the way back there in shallow water, not using LiveScope. So.
You know what I've noticed recently? When you get too, I guess, locked in on one thing,
that's
when you start to get hurt a little bit. Like, you got to be so open-minded out here, especially out here, because the patterns are changing, like, daily.
Yeah, that's true.
They change hourly. Yeah. You got to adapt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But
hey, that culvert, though, it still held some big fishing.
Dude, that was pretty funny. I'm not gonna lie. When I saw that in your video, I was like, man, that's pretty good.
Big
I mean,
first cast.
Yeah, I
first
mean,
cast.
I don't know what it was about that spot, but and still, like, you caught your big one there. Like,
yeah.
It's that fence. They suspend on that fence.
Yeah, and under the fence, there's a 6-foot concrete wall.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how far deep it goes down, too. It doesn't just stop where you see it stop in the water. It goes down all the way to the bottom, like all the way down there, and then runs towards the dam a little bit. Did you notice that, Dom?
Yeah, it extends out. Yeah. There's like these long concrete towers that go all the way down. And like Brian says, they're suspended on the very tops of those. But then there's big ones that suspend on the bottom, too.
If you think about this, You guys could say something too about this. That's probably the only concrete wall in any of our lakes.
Besides the dam, you mean?
Besides the dam.
I mean, that's
kind of
like riprap.
Yeah, there's not even really a dam that's like that. Really.
That you could
but
fish.
I'm talking like a hard concrete wall. That's probably the only wall in all of our lakes down here.
Barrett. I'm trying to think.
Barrett has a wall?
Oh.
Barrett Dam.
We don't even talk about Barrett. That's cheating.
I'll be there Saturday.
Hey, I'm not gonna fish the working man series. I'm not fishing anymore like this month for the weekend, so too busy.
So I'm taking a break on
forfeit.
The
I'm forfeiting.
he's experiencing the month long anxiety.
Yeah, I could probably only do it wintertime, you know. Go ahead, Brian. What were you going to say?
Sometimes it just gets too much. I mean, we went from having – I said sometimes it does get too much. I mean, you know, we went from having, like, SoCal kayak anglers to having something every weekend that you can do, you know what I mean? And it's like sometimes I feel like I have to do it, not necessarily that I want to do it, but I don't know. It's still fun. It's just
so hold that. Sometimes hold that it's overwhelming. Thought. Hold that thought really quick. We'll get into that. Let's talk about this. Actually, let's shout out the top five really quick. So this is the top five from
top
the
six
tournament. Top six. You could barely see Dom down there in six, but Brian had 91. Russell had 86.75. Justin 86.25. Mark Christman 94.75, and Jason with 84.5. Let's go ahead and bring up so congrats to the top five out there. There's 56 guys, I think, 56 anglers, which is a super good turnout. SoCal's throwing up the numbers this year for sure. And we got Mark Christen with the big fish, which was, I think, what was that, a 22.75, Brian?
Look like it, yeah,
22.5,
which is a giant. So, Mark, dude, nice fish, man. Solid fish. And then
Mark,
Brian, let's talk about this fish, bro. Let's talk about this fish, dude. How did this one come about? That's a tank.
That was on a little rocky point around the island. There was a little shade pocket with some grass right next to it, and it was like one of the most bassy looking spots I've ever seen. I just threw a thin Senko in there and didn't even feel the bite, didn't even see my line jump, just picked it up and thought I was on a tree for a second, and then it's came up with its mouth open, and I kind of muscled it in on 7-pound test, because if I didn't muscle it in, it was going straight to a tree. So it was one or the other. So I just,
dude, isn't that the best? Like, it. I know a lot of people talk about like throwing a Senko or whatever, but like, dude, there's something about like when you're working your Senko and then all of a sudden you just don't feel anything and you're like, okay. And it, like, that feeling of not feeling anything feels so good. And then you set the hook and it just, your rod just bends over. And it's like, dude, there's something about that, dude. Like, it's such a different bite. Like, it's hard to explain, because sometimes they jump the line, but that bite where it's like, you don't feel anything. And then your line's like all the way right. And you're just like, yes.
It's like,
yeah. Oh man,
I like when you see the line jump, and you know you got time, because they're not gonna spit it out, and you know you're gonna get a sweet hook set on it, and
I think the second best feeling is when you see the mouth come up on top of the surface, and you're just like, oh my gosh, that's a big one, that's a straight big one,
that's a double digit. Yeah, dude, I always think they're bigger than
just wish,
when they come
I wish, up. I wish Hodges was a player for this. Oh, I wish Hodges was still a player for the working man's.
Hodges is closed, though, right?
Not yet.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, I think it's open.
Yeah, they say they're going to close it, but they it's still open.
Oh.
You see Johnny's 10-pounder he got?
Yeah,
I saw. Yeah,
giant.
Did you see his scream? Did you hear his scream?
So. I watched the video.
It was like the most.
It
was like the most awkward. No, it was like you could tell he was genuinely excited, because was a super awkward little like yell.
It was he cool. doesn't get it was too funny. Excited. He's not really like an exciteful guy. He just does his thing, catches 10-pounders. Hodges is awesome. I feel like I hope when they do whatever they do to the dam or whatever they do to close it, I hope that they fill it back up all the way up, bro. That would just be insane if they did that, but I doubt it. But I hope they revive that lake, because it's incredible.
That, sorry to interrupt, did that fluorocarbon line that you're using, Brian, 7-pound test, have you broken off at any of the fish due to like any last minute dives? And like, which brand are you using?
Hold on. You guys are cutting out a little bit. What was it?
I said, what brand are you using for fluorocarbon line? And did you have any breakoff problems for like last minute dives?
Well, I used to use Sunline Sniper pretty much exclusively until one tournament I had an Otai, and I had like four break off in a row. So after that, I switched to P-Line Tactical, and I've never broken a fish off with P-Line Tactical.
And you're like cinching that drag down, right? You're cinching the drag down with that 7-pound test.
I don't think I backed the drag off enough. I use a fairly soft rod. I use a whip snake, a mega bass whip snake, a Rochi. So it's got, it bends pretty much, the whole rod bends. So that's kind of what I count on.
Okay. Cool.
Man, why? I mean, I throw 6-pound Seaguard Tatsu, and I could probably count the number of fish on one hand that I've broke off. And I don't even think it was like, probably even less than like five that I've ever broke off. And I mean, I truly believe in that Tatsu. I know it's a little more expensive, but it's been insane. I've caught so many fish on 6-pound. I mean, when I went to Clear Lake, when I went to Clear Lake that like a couple Augusts ago, and I was fishing those volcanic rock piles, I was throwing 6-pound the whole time, landed them all in 6-pound.
Got 6-pound Tatsu and 7-pound tactical.
That's yeah. Cool.
All right. Right on. It's a good tip.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and transition.
I still use 7-pound sniper, but.
Oh, for those Senkos?
Yeah. That's the only thing I use the sniper for. I think I just, honestly, okay. I think I had a bad spool that one time.
And, I see.
Like I literally, they were like 18, 19 inch fish, and they would jump and the line would snap like four in a row. It was no good.
That sucks, man.
I think I remember that day, Brian.
And it was 8-pound. It wasn't. Yeah.
Wait, are you talking about the same tournament you won, Shane?
I think so.
No, this was the year before.
Oh, okay. Shade. For a while
there, like every time I'd see Brian after a tournament, he's like, dude, I broke off like two big ones. And I'm just like, bro, you gotta stop breaking off on fish.
Yeah, I was on I lost a lot of big fish one year. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you took a lot of second place finishes last year, I remember. You're always like,
I had
second. Yeah. Was it due to like all those breakoffs? Can you confidently say?
Not all of them. I mean, I know there was two for sure that I would have won if I wouldn't have broken the fish off. The other ones were just, you know, I just came up short. So
I wouldn't mind goes taking second place every time.
I mean, yeah, once you get like over 3 or 4 second place finishes, you want to taste the victory at least once, you know, once a year.
The Delta one hurt though.
Yeah, Delta one hurt too. Yeah. I mean, the trolling motor cut off the line on mine. I was fishing like Cody Henley. Yeah, I was fishing like Cody Henley. I had it turned up like going 2.5 miles per hour. And I was just chucking a chatterbait, just burning it back to the boat. I believe it was a 16-incher. And if I would have caught that 16 that just came off at the trolling motor on the shaft, I mean, I think I would have won because I was like less than an inch.
It just goes
to tell you, like, in order to win one of these tournaments, you have to have everything going right for you, pretty much.
Well, I mean, think of how small the scale is we are. Like, you see dudes on, like, Bassmaster in the Classic. They lose a fish that would have won in the Classic. You know what I mean? Imagine what that feels like.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
how I feel every time I lose a fish, though. Like I'm fishing the classic. All right. Well, let's go ahead and transition over to Dom's victory with the Urban Angler Club. Dom, I have never fished the Urban Angler Club. I really want to get out there and fish one of the Pudding Stone events. Brian, I believe you've fished their events, haven't you? Have you fished Urban Angler Club before? Brian?
Brian? Brian?
Oh, sorry. My stream's kind of lagging.
Oh, really?
What was that?
Have you fished Urban Angler?
If you want to hop out and hop back in, you can try that if you want to. But have you ever fished the Urban Angler Club?
I fish all their saltwater spotted bay bass events. I've never fished one of their freshwater ones.
So, Dom, tell everyone what the Urban Angler Club's about. Tell them about Kirk and how did your tournament go?
Well, I just joined last year. So, I don't know too much about them, but all I know is a great group of fishermen, whether you're fishing from the bank, kayak, a tube, or anything less than 14 feet. I'd say it's a great experience. So if you're trying to get into competitive bass fishing and you want to see where you stack up against all kinds of levels, then join that club. And Kirk Matoyor, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, runs the events and he's great. He's super friendly. And like I said, there's top-notch sticks in that club that you're going against as well. So you could really either stay warmed up for the bigger events in that club or really test how competitive you are against like the seasonal sticks. For instance, like Gilbert Garcia, Anthony Garcia, and I believe Alex Cox and maybe John DeMonet fishes that club as well.
Yeah. Another thing that I like that they do is that they hit Paris a lot. They hit Pudding Stone. They hit the Lagoon or Lake X. They fish like all those Santa Fe Dam. I still don't believe that there's fish in Santa Fe Dam. I think that they catch them somewhere else and just take pictures of them. But no, it's pretty crazy that these guys catch fish at Santa Fe Dam as well. But yeah, let's go ahead and throw up top five really quick, Dom. So Dom took the win with 92.5, solid bag. Michael Leones had 92 inches, so it was a pretty tight race to the top. And then it pretty much just dropped off after that, and we had Joey Aquino caught 78.75. Pete Garcia caught 72.5. And then Efren Vasquez caught 69.25. And then I don't know if you guys noticed, but Michael caught a 23.75. And we'll go ahead and throw that up there. It's a giant 23.75. Absolute tank. The Lagoon is famous for big fish. It's Butch Brown's playground. So Dom, you fish this place a lot, and it was cool to see you. You know, all the time you put into it, you know, it shows. And you went out there and won this event. I believe there was there's 33 anglers out there. So go ahead and walk us through, you know, how you took it, dude.
Sweet. Yeah, so I go to this lake pretty often, like you said, and the fish behave differently at this water. They school up, and you'll never know. Like you never know if you'll catch a 3.5 pounder or a 7 pounder or a 10 pounder. That's the thing; they all school up together. I remember during the winter times, I fished for 2 hours and I stuck 22 fish in those 2 hours, almost every other cast, every three casts. So I actually went fun fishing, I believe, 3 or 4 days before the tournament. And I was just scanning around the lake. What I do a lot of the times is I turn on my live scope set it to whatever depth that I'm targeting, and I'll literally zigzag the whole entire lake trying to find bait. And I'll set it to 150 feet, and I'll set the gain up to like 70%. And I'll literally zigzag open water, zigzag about 50 yards offshore, and just find that key bait, because we are at the shad spawn right now in post spawn. And as soon as I find that bait, I stop and then I start searching for schools of bass. And then I'll rotate my transducer to figure out if there's bass feeding on that bait ball. Just 10 yards off of that bait ball, I found schools of bass. They sort of like congregate like crappie. But these were bigger marks. So I took my heavier underspin to get it down about 20 feet of water. And they're going up and down, just chasing bait to the surface and chasing bait down to the bottom. And my first fish was like a 4.5. And I was just like, holy crap. There was like 10 or 20 of them inside of that school.
Was that year 19?
No. This was during practice.
Oh, okay.
And then found another group of fish, cast it out there, and then stuck a 7 during practice. So I stuck a 7, 4.5, and a whole bunch of 3.5. So then I was just like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to try this out during the tournament. So tournament day, got the boat ready, 6:30 a.m. on the water. I could launch. It's an open launch format at 6:30 or as soon as you get on the water, and then lines in at 7 a.m.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
So I had 30 minutes to scan the whole entire lake. It was slick, calm, bluebird skies. Didn't see any bait in the same spot. So I decided to go check out shallow. Didn't see any fish. I saw some roamers shallow. I saw some bedfish shallow. And I was just like, I'm not feeling this. 2 or 3 hours in, I haven't caught a fish. And I'm just like,
and mind these events lines out is when?
12:30. Yeah, so you only have 5.5 hours to fish.
Yeah.
So I went back after 2.5-3 hours of finding no fish shallow or, you know, not getting on a bite. So I went back to those bait balls that I didn't find the morning of, found them, and then I saw school busting on bait, and I was just like, well, I guess I'll just sit here until conditions, you know, pan out. So as soon as, like, so I caught 2 fish on the schools, and so they would go into the bait. They would start chasing shad, and if you rotate your transducer, you'll see which side they're coming in from. They're either coming in from the right side, from the top to the bottom. They'll either push down the bait to the bottom or push up bait to the surface. At that time, when it was slick calm, they were pushing it sideways. So I would catch one. I think my first fish was like 18 or 18.75. I had to kind of let that school of bass relax and then come back to that bait ball. So I would catch one off of the bait ball, leave for 15 minutes and find another bait ball, come back, and then I would catch another bass. And then so I had about 3 or 4 fish, and it was like 12 p.m., and overcast pulled up. It was partly cloudy, and there was a ripple on the surface. And then I'm looking at my live scope, and then I saw all of a sudden I look up, and I see bass thrashing like striper, just boiling. And I see one bass hit a shad up in the air, and the shad went tumbling down on the surface, and I see another bass eating it. And I was just like, oh my gosh. I had my buddy Leo in the back of me in an aluminum boat in the tournament also. And I was like, Leo, come over here, man. They're schooling up. They're schooling up, dude. It's like yellowtail or something. I take my underspin, zinging out there 120 feet. I turn on my trolling motor 100%. And then right when I got to 100 feet, I turned it off and it glided in perfectly, casted it out with my DC reel. Boom, get hit like three times. And then finally hook went on an 18 and a quarter, I believe. And that put me around like 90 inches. And then with 20 minutes to go, I see the leader come by me with the 23 inch bass. He comes by me and he's heading in. He called it a day. And then there's fish busting right in front of me, and I had 90 inches. I had 2.5 inches to go, or 2.25 inches to go, and took a cast over boiling bass, caught a 18.75 with 20 minutes to go to get a lead by half an inch as I saw the leader go back to the launch ramp calling it a day. So I was like,
you're like, never give up.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Mike Iaconelli, just like, times. Never give up.
And that's like one of the most important lessons fishing with you guys is that, you know, you guys grind until line's out. You guys don't stop fishing, you know. And I'm pretty sure Brian's the same way. Like,
oh yeah,
you never stop grinding.
You know? I mean, the more casts you make, you know, the longer your line's in the water. I mean, you got to even think about travel time if you want to go to a different spot. I mean, you're going, what, 4.5 miles an hour, maybe? Yeah. So you're burning a lot of casts going spot to spot. So.
Yeah. So let's look at your big one. This is a 19, I think, right? 19.
Mm-hmm.
I think just looks mean. Looks like a shatting machine.
Yeah, for sure.
It's healthy.
Look at that mean mug face, dude. He's pissed he's on that board, bro. You pissed him off. Look at those freaking flared out top fins and just freaking that dude's.
Look at all that fishing line, man. Look at all that fishing line and that jug of water and those.
I bet that's a male, dude. I bet that's a male, dude. Huh, Brian?
I don't know.
Look at those Crocs, bro.
I like how the Crocs match the boat. I can't even tell where your Crocs are.
Do you have croc nuts on those?
What are croc nuts?
They're testicles for your crocs.
Dude.
Look them up.
I got to ask you a question, okay, since this picture's up.
I'm going to Amazon some croc nuts right now.
Hey, you don't mind like that mess, like I feel like every time I watch your video and stuff, got a lot. You got a lot going on, bro. You don't ever think about cleaning it up a little bit. Like, look at the difference between this and like my homie Brian, just like organized, clean.
Is that socks?
Yeah,
Brian, yeah, those are socks. Come on, man. You got to get some Crocs matching camouflage Crocs.
Let's see, Mark.
Bro.
Look at Mark, bro. Mark is just like
that's clean. Bon appetit, bro.
You could eat off his floor, dude.
That's clean.
No wonder he caught that big fish, bro. That big fish wanted to be on there, dude.
That big fish has like a sore on his lip.
Dude, sometimes I watch your videos, bro. You got like an extra rod like hanging on the left side of your boat, like right in your feet. Like that doesn't bug you?
The thing is when I'm like zigzagging in open water,
you're like
they either
or whatever.
Exactly. It's like a bass boat deck. I want like three of my main rods on my side at all times. And I don't want to be able to, I don't want to reach back, take it out and blah, blah, blah. I just want to pick it up, cast it out because I have fish that are either suspending from a foot to 5 feet off the bottom or like 20 feet off the bottom. So it's like, I'll either pick my swim bait up or I'll pick up my drop shot or jig up and then I'll just fish on. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, it does get messy, but dude, if you're on a school of bass and, you know, you don't have things to reach right away. And dude, I'm telling you, when I was on these schools of bass, they would move. Well, let me give you a better example. over at El Cap, I would follow School of Shad, the same ball, 400 to 200 yards down a bank. And I could see it all happen. It's like a highway or a street where this bass lives in this house, and the next block over, the other bass lives over at that house. And they would just feed on that same bait ball of shad 100 to 200 yards out. And I would just keep on following that shad ball all the way down the bank. And if you don't have all your equipment ready to go, if you don't have everything ready to go, then it's hard. And it's hard to not like keep up with the shad when they're biting so well.
Yeah. So let's kind of transition into next year. The first thing I'm going to let you guys know is that the ABA is considering no live scope for next year. What do you guys think about that?
I back it 100%.
Damn, Brian, then you better.
Brian's about it. Brian's about it, huh?
I'm all for it.
I don't know.
Are you for it?
I don't know. As long as the tournament schedule's over at shallow water only or something like that. But we live in SoCal. Come on, guys. We live in deep water reservoirs.
2D only.
2D so, only, no side scan, no, no down
just,
scan.
I'm just kidding. So technology's changing and it's apparent and it's helping guys. It's definitely increasing guys' knowledge of the water. But seriously, let's talk about next season. So you guys have fished three events so far with the Ironman. What is your guys' takeaways? What would you guys like to see maybe next year? Brian, you can go ahead and go first.
I've had fun so far. I like the two-day format. It makes you appreciate every fish more, I guess. You know, the first day, every fish counts for sure. So, I like that it's spread out. I mean, they're not scheduled too close together. There's NorCal, there's SoCal. Kind of changes it up, you know, from fishing the same places over and over again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anything that you maybe want next year that we don't, that's not in place this year, or anything you can think of?
I think it should be one pre-fish day instead of two.
Okay. Fair enough.
Because I know it's hard enough for people to get an extra day off work to, you know, fish one day.
Yeah.
But to fish 2 days, you know, not many people can do that probably. So.
Yeah. No, I hear you on that. Dom, what are your takes on it?
I think there should be like I like what KBF is doing, you know. Well, first of all, I like those double events where KBF or Bassmaster lands on the same day and winner can take home 10K, you know. That would be awesome. Because the higher the payout goes for these tournaments, the better the kayak industry, the better sponsors everybody can get, the better endorsements all these kayakers can get. That's where I really want the sport to go. In terms of like practice days, I like the 2 day practice, but maybe like having a division of like a trail series and a pro series event would be pretty awesome, or like a pro and amateur or something. I don't know. I love the 2 day format. I believe that it does take another cylinder in order to win like these 2 day events, like period. But I mean, 1 day, 2 day of practice, it doesn't really matter to me. 1 or 2 day. I do like the blackout dates though. The 2 weeks of like no one could touch the water. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that too, especially you know, we have a lot of guys traveling, and we travel up north and stuff like that. So one thing that I don't know if we lost Brian or not. Looks like we lost him. There he goes. Come back in. You good, Brian?
Yep. I just got
one thing that I'm kind of thinking like next season is that we do maybe 2 in SoCal, 2 in NorCal, and then we do, let's just say, 2 in Arizona, and then we do 2, 1 in like Utah, 1 in like Colorado area. Mm-hmm. And we don't, you know, if you want to go to all of them, you can. It'll probably be your best 3 or something like that. Basically taking the Working Man, the Iron Man series, and like meshing them and like making it like one big West Coast region event, and then having a championship somewhere, you know, that is, I don't even know where we're having it this year, but like having a championship, a big championship. I think it'll bring more anglers in from the regions to fish, you know, their local region. And then if they want to travel, they can, and it'll be the same payouts, same blackout period. It'll be worth everyone's travel time, but that's kind of something that it's not for sure. It's not going to happen. We haven't even really talked about it, to be honest. That's more just like my own thought on maybe for next season. Because, you know, having all the events in California aren't, you know, that, what do you want to call it? That a pleasing our West Coast guys that are still West Coast. West Coast doesn't mean California. West Coast is literally like Arizona, Nevada, Utah, all those guys. So it just kind of opens up more opportunity for those anglers as well. And then if we want to travel, we could travel to those events, and it'll be worth our time and worth the travel to go, because the payouts will be big. And that's the one thing I really like we're fishing against 40 anglers, and we're possibly bringing home like what, like almost $3,000 each time if you win, and we're only facing 40 guys. You know, granted, those 40 anglers are really top sticks in our sport, but it just makes it a little bit more, like you said, Don, like it already is kind of like its own little pro event, I guess you can call it. I mean, if you look at all the names that are fishing these events, like it's pretty much like the top sticks in California, like, and across the whole Western region. But I think putting it in everyone's backyard will also encourage the guys that maybe don't want to travel to California every single time. So I don't know.
I like the idea. I actually like the idea having 3 events close to each region. So I have maybe 3 events over at NorCal, 3 events over in Arizona, 3 events in SoCal, and et cetera. So that way, at least you have 3 shots of it, 3 shots at Angler of the Year or qualifying for the championship in your local region.
I mean, the whole goal for like this year is to, that's how we did our best 3 kind of this year, but we're trying to encourage people to travel and fish, like to travel and fish against each other. Like, that's the whole kind of goal behind it, is to get guys to travel. And that's why we did our best 3 out of 6 this year. So that way, you know, it's encouraging to travel to get more events in, because you only take your best 3, right? So
if we could get like something like what KBF is doing, then I would travel a lot more. If we could get like a trail series going and a pro series, leave our $250 buy-in for ABA happening right now. Leave that alone, and then just have an individual day for each event too, like $100, $115 for Saturday, $115 for Sunday. I think you would get a lot more participants that can only fish one day as well.
Yeah.
So like
think doing like a one day, a one day separate series, like completely separate, like. And maybe just in SoCal, I don't know, or have a couple events in NorCal too, but just kind of scaling it down. And because the Working Man's series was going to be that, but they just couldn't do it in time to like effectively do it, where, you know, they came out so late that to throw an event in to the crazy schedule that's already out there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, next year, kind of going back to the drawing board, I think Ironman might stay pretty consistent, but I think Working Man might change a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I don't have no idea.
That'd be awesome. Just
throwing it out there, but yeah.
Because I do want to start seeing more of the SoCal kayak anglers come in and have a chance at it. Like one of like the people that can only fish one day.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm kind of biased for San Vicente because I took the Pro Series, but I like that there were some anglers that could participate that I don't normally see on the trail events too.
Yeah.
And then there's your go hard pro guys that are fishing in overall 2 days, like Brian Lepke, Shane Lamont, Dominic, Anthony Garcia. All those guys are fishing those 2 day events, right? But then it's also nice to see those guys that can participate for 1 day and just pick it, you know?
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Yeah, that's why it's important to continue to promote and continue to support the local clubs, whether it's SoCal, Urban Anglers, Yakabass, to keep those alive and going, because it gives those anglers that can't do 2 days or just want to go out and have fun and compete for a lower entry fee, then that's what those are designed for. And
exactly.
The ABA is a business. Wild West is a business. Bass is a business. KBF is a business. So at the end of the day, they're a business and they need to make money. And that's just the bottom line. So they're going to try to provide opportunities, but they also need to make a buck. You know, the local clubs don't really have that pressure to make money. They just do it to, you know, create opportunity for guys. So it's just all what makes sense business wise for these bigger, you know, circuits, but we'll see what happens for next season. I know Brian keeps going in and out. So
Brian, come on, stop logging onto your Amazon trying to buy those croc nuts. You have enough, Brian.
Well, we're kind of hitting that hour mark right now. So Dom, what's next for you? You're just going to hit Otay now and just kind of take a little breather on the tournaments?
I'm going to New York City.
Welcome back, Brian.
Welcome back, Brian. Going to New York City, Brooklyn, to go visit my sister this coming up week.
I came back to leave again. I gotta go.
All right, Brian. I'll see you later. It's nice chatting with you, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
I think he was joking.
Oh, he was joking. Okay, wait. Is he joking or not joking yet?
No. Here, Brian, you have to go.
Oh, you have to go? Okay.
All right, Brian.
Brian, you're the man, dude. Keep it up, and we'll have you on again soon, I'm sure.
You need me for anything else?
No, we're going to wrap. We're wrapping it up right now. So if there's anyone you want to thank, you can shout them out.
You say you don't know where the championship is?
I don't know where the championship is yet. Nope.
Brian was surprised. Oh,
Huntington Harbor?
No.
Newport Harbor.
No.
All right.
Hawaii. All right. See ya.
All right, Brian. See you later.
He was having some Wi-Fi troubles.
So yeah, going to New York City, Brooklyn, go visit my sister with my girlfriend. Gonna have an actual true holiday, just like Shane does every week.
Yeah,
just have some family time, and then I was thinking about doing Pineview KBF, but probably not. I have to work. I have to work. So probably KBF monthly, and then lower Otay, like you said, KBF lower Otay and ABA lower Otay.
Well, that's a nice thing that we got lower Otay coming up, because I mean, both of us, we just need like one top 10 and we're good, bro.
Yeah.
Just one top 10 out of both the days, and we can go to the NC with hope.
Well, let's get it, dude. Top three, man. Top three, Shane and I, man. Let's call it right because now.
At the end of the day, it's going to come down to the NC finish. Your trail. Well, actually, it's your trail series championship finish. Did you know that? So it's not your NC finish. It's the trail series championship finish that matters the most. So
I believe the NC is more of like for every participant, not just.
I'm just saying for Angler of the Year, for your Angler of the Year points, the Trail Series Championship is the final points. So that 2-day championship will be what's decided, you know, and it's points and a half too. So that's on, you know, if we just have top 10, like everyone that has top 10 in KBF trail points has a shot if you take top 10 in the trail championship. You know what I mean? Like it just depends on how well you do there. So
if all five guys that go to the West Coast or more, if they all finish in the top 10, you'll see all top 10 West Coast guys go to the 10 house.
There could be a few West Coast guys this year. That's for sure.
Tim O'Connor said he was going to go out there, right? Tim O'Connor.
I hope as many people as we have can go, but
yeah,
we'll see what happens, dude. I think Otay is going to be fun. It's going to be a good time no matter what. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to take a little break again and spend time with family and then head to Otay with some confidence. But the interesting thing about Otay for me is that I'm going to be in a wedding on Friday night.
My brother-in-law
is getting married on Friday night. Luckily, it's right here locally in Corona. So Friday night, right after the wedding, I'm just going to basically drive to the lake and sleep in my truck and go.
You should vlog that portion and add it to your video
of the wedding.
Kind of like, the night before, just have like a 10-second clip and just be like, yo, guys, I'm at the wedding. I can practice blah, 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 or such. And then just add that in the beginning or something like that. And
the practice is Wednesday, so I might head down there Wednesday. Yeah, I might head down there Wednesday.
Well, it adds to the story, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like hungover and won the KBF lower Otay.
Well, if I drive to the lake right after the wedding, I'm not going to be able to drink that much at all. So,
but yeah.
Yeah.
Adding that little story, people admire that, you know?
Yep.
That's great.
All right, Dom. Let's go ahead and just wrap it up. You can thank whoever you want to thank. This is like your third time on the show, I think, or second. So go ahead and just take it away. Send us home.
Okay. All right. Thanks to my family and friends. Thanks, Mortar Guy. Thanks, Wu Tungsten. And I just want to quickly shout out Nathan. He's battling leukemia over on the East Coast, and I donated. I just found out from Bass Fishing Addicts, and he's battling leukemia. So let's give like prayers to him. Hope he does well, you know, and survive this and battle leukemia. And then also Riley from Urban Angler Club. He is suffering from MS and now is in a wheelchair, but still fishing these events. So like, shout out to Riley too. You guys are true inspiration to the sport. And just grateful for what I have now. And that's all I want to leave it at.
Sweet, man. Well, guys, that's going to do it for tonight's episode. If you guys want to follow Brian Lepke, go ahead and search him on Instagram. Follow Dom, Double Digit Angler, on YouTube and Instagram. Follow myself, Bass Thumbs Fishing. Till next time, guys, keep your thumbs ripped, and we'll see you guys on the next one. See ya.
Peace.
Join Captain Justin Leak and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep-sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.